Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
You know, for those of you who don't know, when I was in the season where everything was dismantling in my life, I was learning to trust the Lord in all ways and failing at it miserably because the flesh is hard to kill. And our intellect, which we've relied on forever, I just want to tell you something. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. So don't look at this as, oh my gosh, the end of the world is coming. No, it's not. It's not. So if you're thinking that Jesus is coming tomorrow, I'd be surprised if he does. There's still many things that have to come. So, you know, some people have fear that, you know, any day now, you know, I wish, but it's not time yet. And remember the Lord said when all this first started busting loose, he said, this is too soon. The season is pushed too soon. And you know, it really is too soon, and it's still too soon. And so it's up to us, the Spirit-filled believers, to maneuver the ship. And we're doing that through our prayers and proclamations. But here's the thing. We have to be careful of the flesh and spirit. We have to let the Word of God discern our hearts. And that's what it's designed to do. And it's very easy to get on an agenda. But that's not the way Jesus does things. And as I'm seeing this, I talked about this last week where it feels like a church split. You know, are you wearing a mask? You're not wearing a mask. You know, weird stuff. Are you pro-vaccine or no vaccine? You know what? Shut up. You know, I'm here about my Father's business. And I'm not going to get caught up in the left or the right. I am staying dead center in the will of God. And how do I do that? By renewing my mind in the Word of God, not in Facebook, in the Word of God. Facebook is steering us the wrong direction. You know, it was a bait. It was like, oh, a fun thing that has turned very dark and corrupt. But many people are addicted to it. Let me just say that. Many people wake up and that's the first thing they look at is Facebook. How many hits? How many posts? Who's doing what? Listen, I remember when the Lord corrected me on this. I used to smoke cigarettes 100 years ago. And in the morning, I would reach for my pack of cigarettes. It was the first thing I did. I would light up a cigarette. And for those of you who still smoke, you probably know that's something that you do in the morning. And I started reaching for my phone like it was a pack of cigarettes. And the Lord gave me a flash, and I was like, oh, that's not good. See, the correction of the Lord is important. But when you justify the correction, you're in dangerous territory because he wants to correct us, not to beat us up and not to punish us. He just wants us to be in his will and focused on the Father's business. And so I'm not getting on a Facebook tangent, but I'm just giving you heed to, hey, how much time are you on Facebook? And is that helping you or hurting you? What's your emotional level when you're on Facebook? You know, is it neutral or are you like, or are you, you know, what's happening? Look at the emotions that you have when you're on it. Is it something you're addicted to perhaps? You know, I hear that's a thing now. I know people that had to like quit it because it was messing with them. And I'm not saying that like to embarrass you, but we're all brothers and sisters. Let's be real. Let's bring our issues to the table so that Jesus can deliver us and heal us and give us the direction, right? You know, we act like, oh, we all got it together so well. Well, do we? How's your life at home? You know, I'm not saying that because I'm trying to correct you. I'm just speaking by the Holy Ghost. I hear what he's saying and I see where we're going. I have no clue where we're going here. You know me. You guys know me. But listen, we're going to a lot of places tonight because God wants us all in the center of his will. So he's going to grab so-and-so and say, hey, this is for you. He's going to grab you over on this side and go, hey, you can't hear this yet, but listen, try to listen. And then the angels are going to shake you a little bit and say, pay attention, you know, because they're trying to get you to come through the veil of there's like a sleepiness of, or like, well, this is the way I've always been. Listen, we are in new territory. In the spirit realm, we are in new territory. And what I'm seeing is wonderful, but it also could be frightening depending on where you're at. Now, if you have fear right now, that's not a bad thing. It's just a signal that there's an issue in your heart that needs to be addressed. I love when he gives me, when something manifests inside of me. I used to look at myself like a big old marshmallow, and when there was a soft spot that got poked, I was like, oh, there's an area that the Lord wants to deal with. You know, it's soft. It's not hard, like it doesn't have an armor. And so I look at those arrows, those pokes, and I say, Lord, what is this? Why am I acting this way? Why did I just yell? Why did I just defend myself? Or why do I not want to get out of bed today? Listen, I'm seeing a picture of the car, and every one of us is there. We all have our own ministry, and it's to worship him, serve him, and preach the gospel message, and whatever else goes on there, the tags, whether you're an evangelist or a prophet or a teacher or good works, whatever, it doesn't matter. We all have, God has equipped us to do things for him, with him, not for him, without him. You know, we're like a clay vessel that he just fills, and then he manifests through us, through the works, into the earth, because we're not brilliant enough to do it without him. And we're not designed that way. So some of the cars in here, the check engine light is flashing, you know, and some, the red, it's on and it's been on for a long time and you're still driving and this is the way it's been and I'm going to do it this way. And you know, you're not even stopping at the stop signs anymore. You've missed the yields. You're going through and now you're going through the red lights. And you know what happens when you go through red lights? There's eventually a crash. And then you're going to be like, well, why didn't he tell me this? Well, he was trying months ago, years ago, decades ago, however long it was. Listen, I'm preaching to myself, okay? I can't tell you how many times he's told me something, and I start to do it, and I get derailed, whether it be by the works of the flesh or busyness or just forgetfulness. We can't do anything without him, and it's he designed us that way, and it's important for us to figure out where we're at right now. It's like a reset. Where are we right now with God? What is he telling us to do, and why aren't we doing it? You know, this might be a good time to write it down on a piece of paper, because sometimes we forget even. You know, some people have issues with their memories in here, and I have battled with that and overcome, so you can overcome. You know, how many times have I been hit in the head with a concussion? How many times did I lose my memory? Some of you guys remember those stories. And here I am. Here I am. I will not quit. Anytime the devil hits me or kicks me, I back up. And I fight until I win. How do I win? Through the word. I speak the word. I speak the promises that God has given me over my life. And then I keep showing up until it manifests. And so I was thinking tonight when we were worshiping, I remember when I was deaf. How many of you remember when my hearing was completely gone a couple times? You know, last week, I go home from the meeting on Wednesday night, carrying 4 bags of groceries wrapped around my arms. I trip on the last step into the house, and I have a face plant with the groceries. I laid there on the floor for 20 minutes, laughing in the Holy Ghost. Sprawled all out. I mean, it wasn't a dainty little curtsy fall. It was a tree falling down into the house, so to speak. And I Holly was like, oh, my God, are you all right? You know, I don't know what she said, but I just was like, ha, ha, ha. I could not stop laughing. And I knew it was the Holy Ghost. And so I laid there, and I thought, I think the angels are mending me back together, and I'm not getting up until they're done. And I'm telling you, God will heal us if we're faithful. Now, I could have got up right away and then went, oh, yeah. I just laid there and laughed. Laid there and laughed. And then when I got up, I praised him. Thank you, Jesus, for the groceries. Thank you, there were no canned goods in there. You know?
No eggs.
No eggs. A couple things of, you know, like protein drinks and stuff like that. It cushioned the fall. I think it saved me from cracking ribs. I don't know. But listen, I praise him all the time because I know he's good. When the enemy hits, and he'll hit people, that's his job. Our response determines how long the trial is. Did you know that?
That's good. Can you say that again?
When the enemy hits, our response determines how long the trial is. When the enemy hits, Our response determines how long the trial is. 911, what's your emergency? My roommate is laughing hysterically on the floor and she can't get up. Listen. Listen. We are in training. And we need to show up. Some of us justify why we're not showing up. I'm too busy. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I am getting major correction right now in my spirit as I was driving here. The Lord has told me to do two things, and I've been trying to do them. And I'm like, but Lord, he's like, Lori. I'm like, okay. Listen, I love correction. I welcome it. You know why? It always brings blessings. It always brings fruit. When he prunes away my old thinking or my dead life, it only brings his best. Why do we buck that? Because we haven't reckoned the old man dead. Who's bucking in here? No hands now. Joe's not raising his hand on that one. Who's pointing fingers in here? Put them back. Listen. Sometimes people leave here and they feel like convicted. And they turn it. Because their flesh is like, it's our nature to justify. It's our nature to get used to where we're at. But that's not God. God is always increasing. He's always increasing. And if there's limitations, it's not God. It's us. And he is challenging the body of Christ right now to show up. You know, we talk the talk. But really, he's asking us to show up right now. Show up in a secret place to get the direction and then implement what he tells us, when he tells us, without delay. And we are in a season of great practice in this. But here's the thing. As we practice, our flesh, the old man that's still stiff, is challenging the direction that God is throwing at us or leading us to. And it's tough to discern the difference. And it's actually causing confusion and delay for some of us. I'm feeling that one. That's a weighty word that the Lord is delivering, and some of you didn't hear it. Listen, I got to do this little prayer here by the Holy Ghost. Right now, I command all our minds to be subdued to the Spirit of the living God. I command the spirit man to rise up right now and receive this word without interruption in Jesus' name. Some of us have been given assignments and we have not shown up. We have given excuses of why we can't do it, whether it be I'm busy or I forgot or I'll get to it later. God is not your earthly parent. And if you treat him like that, you're going to miss what he's doing. He's advancing his kingdom for his glory and his pleasure. And he's using us as agents of change. He's using us to bring forth his manifested glory into the earth to reach the lost, to reach the broken, and to raise the dead, spiritually and physically. Some of you are going to go into the darkest of the darkest of the darkest places, and you're going to be the light that causes people to change. One, two, three, four, five, six. God is speaking to every one of us. We all have different callings, and some of us have been in some tough, dark places, and it's not punishment. It's not. It's part of who you are. He's shining you to bring you back into those areas to breathe life. And then as you're breathing life, you're pulling out the victims. You're pulling out the broken, the captives. And you're showing them the love of the Father. No one has seen that you will be ministering to. They will be drawn to it in such a way that it's irresistible. But will you go? Right now you're being equipped. And some of you still are going, but you got one leg of the flesh that needs to be cut off. Kill it. Kill it. You know what that's about. You know. And that's not for everyone. You know what that's about. And the Lord is very pleased with what you've done so far. He's very pleased. He knows the sacrifice that it's cost. And he knows what it's going to cost. But remember, Jesus paid the price. You have a full ticket, a full meal ticket to walk in. Will it hurt sometimes? Yeah. Will it smell? Absolutely. But the reward of that lost soul coming home. Nothing. It's like fishing. You won't be satisfied until you see that, because God put that in you. And he's getting us ready. And that's why we got to deal with these stupid little distractions of the day. The little foxes that spoil the vine. I was thinking of the bush. I was seeing like beautiful grapes, you know, the viney bush thing. Yeah. Listen, this is practice. And every one of you has said yes, or you wouldn't be here. Every one of you feels that pull in your spirit right now for the purpose that God ordained you for. And he's making you ready. Meanwhile, every force of darkness is throwing every distraction, every doubt, every assignment possible against you. And how will you respond? How you engage with the enemy determines the course. There's nothing greater than laughing at the devil. It shocks him, because he's not used to people doing that. He's used to people being, oh, the devil's after me. I'm going to fast and pray. Laugh at that thing and see what happens. You want to confuse the enemy? Laugh at him. He hates that. Hates it. And then you say, listen, bud, go in the name of Jesus. You have no authority over my life. My life belongs to Jesus Christ. I am fully submitted to him. Back off. When you speak like that, guess what? He has to obey, because you have the voice of the Father in you being released. So I'm going to go to a couple scriptures. When we were worshiping, Proverbs 3. I love this proverb. There's so much meat in here. When I was going through the shaking, see, the shaking right now, I'm not affected by it. You know why? Because I already shook. I went through this years ago, and the Lord promised me, you die to all this stuff, I'll take care of you. I'm paraphrasing, because it was a much longer conversation of, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? You know, because I was learning to trust him. Lean not on my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge him, and he will make my path straight. Well, how do you do that? Through practice. And every one of us, this is practice. Practice right now. And so here's some wisdom. It says my son, but I have it scratched out, and it says Lori. Do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. So here's the thing. Our flesh is wise to our own eyes. We have to battle that. We have to subdue our flesh and our wisdom that we were raised with and the knowledge that we read in books. And we have to learn that Jesus knows everything. Holy Ghost is our best friend and leads and guides us into all truth. And I don't know nothing. Even if he tells me something, I don't know nothing. Today's a fresh day. And I can ask him, but what, didn't you say this? But he only talks in part. He doesn't give us the whole picture, the whole plan, because he doesn't want us to run ahead of him. And so it's important to recognize when we're using our own mind. Now, God gave us a mind, yes, but when we're with him, wouldn't you rather have the mind of Christ? Well, how do you get the mind of Christ? Spending time in the Word. So, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. I'm just going to say it. Some of you in here need to turn away from evil. What is evil? You know. And some of you are like, well, a little won't hurt. Well, I've been trying and I just can't do it. Listen, you can't, but he can. You know, the Lord had me, I love to fast, and I've had so much breakthrough with fasting. But there came a season where I couldn't fast. And I would try, and I would stumble, I would try. I'm like, what is up? And what happened is I mixed what he was telling me with what I know. And I was failing miserably at this. And I'm like, what is my problem? And I was sitting there, because what I know has worked before, and he told me to do it before, but this is a new season that I was in with him. And it wasn't, what I was bringing was the old into the new, and it wasn't working. And I would be like, Lord. And I sat down and I said, I don't know what to do. I am a mess. You told me this before. It's not working now. I need your help. You better tell me what to do. I'm asking you, change me, show me. If there's an issue in my heart, if I have wrong thinking, show me. And I listened, and I sat there, and I didn't hear nothing. So what does that mean? Absolutely. That's it. You wait until you hear. Because what he's doing is, I think he's testing me to see, well, is she going to go ahead and do it her way because she needs to hurry up and get this thing started? Or is she going to wait and sit in the presence until? And I thought, I have tried everything seven times. I've failed miserably. I'm going to wait. And when you tell me, that's when we're doing it. If you don't tell me, I'm not doing it. It took 2 days. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting there as looking at something beautiful, and boom, Holy Ghost pops out and gives me this plan. And it was so brilliant, and it was no way I could do it in the flesh. And I said, okay, I know you're asking me to do this, but I can't do it. But I'm going to ask you to do it through me, because only you can make me do it this way. And so I committed to this new fasting plan with the Lord. And the day I was going to do it, of course, something came up that was so glorious, and I had to say no to it, because I'll start tomorrow. I'll do it next. No. When God tells us to do something and he gives us the plan and the time to do it, the grace is there to do it. And if I would have waited and delayed, his grace would have delayed, so to speak. You know, you reap what you sow. So I was hoping for obedience. I was sowing for obedience. And so I reaped the obedience to do this. And you know, day three, I noticed this is completely different. Anything I've ever, any type of fasting I've done, this is a completely new way for me in the Lord. And day three, I thought, dear God, I'm never going to be able to do this, you know? But what he was saying was, call on me. Because it was such a stretch in my flesh. See, my old way of fasting, I had mastered. So I was mastering my flesh, or, you know, I had already done all that. And it was more of I didn't need his grace because it was easy. My body had subdued to this lifestyle of fasting, and he was changing it up. And that's why this other stuff wasn't working anymore, because he was calling me to something different. And so I was requiring to call on his grace. And I recognized it right away, and I hope you're understanding what I'm saying. And so I'm like, wow, I remember the early days when he was teaching me how to fast. I had to call the same type of grace for this. And what happened is, it was causing me to zero in the spirit. Like I was getting razor sharp because I had to really, you know, subdue my flesh in a different way. You know, my old flesh, it's like I had grown to a level and I was matured at that level in fasting, but it was like I was not going to grow unless he changed this for me. It's weird how I'm saying it, but I'm telling you the truth. And so when the hunger pains would come, I would like start worshiping Jesus, you know, like I used to do when I was fasting. And so I was like, oh, I get it. And so he's talked to me about this, and I've been doing this for a while. It's he said he wants me to do this the rest of my life, and I'm only going to do it by his grace. But what I'm saying is, the way he did it, my flesh could have never done this. I had to train my flesh to adapt to this lifestyle by the Spirit through the grace of God, and as a result, there's been breakthrough. And that's what fasting's about. It's to bring forth a new realm in the spirit, to kill a part of the flesh, or to master or subdue it in a different way, where it actually manifests in the spirit, where we bring forth into the earth what God's doing, or how he's doing it. And so what I'm saying is, some of us are struggling, and God is asking us to do this thing. And in the natural, we can't do it. There's no way out, because you've always done it this certain way. But he's asking us to rely on his grace in a different level, like a deeper level. And as a result, it brings forth victory and change. And so I look back, I don't know how long I've been doing this, probably I'd have to look at my calendar, but at least 3 weeks. And I remember looking back like a couple weeks, maybe it's been a month and a half, I don't know, I don't keep track of time. But I remember looking back and thinking, you are brilliant. I would have never even thought of what he's doing as a way of fasting. It was just, I never saw it in his eyes before, and it brought such clarity. And see, he's told me some things that he wants to do, and I've been up against the wall, you know, up against the ceiling for breakthrough in this area, and I'm not going to quit until I see it. Now, some of us would be like, well, I guess this is all I'm getting. No, I want everything. I am the spoiled child of God, and I want every blessing that he has for me. Now, I'm not the spoiled kid of the flesh who's throwing a temper tantrum. I've done that, and that doesn't bring any fruit. We see what that happens. It actually grows demons. Did I just say that out loud? So, feed the demon or feed God? Your choice. So, deny yourself and live off bread of heaven, or pleasure yourself and live off the flesh. And that's really a parable of what's going on in this world right now. There's a spirit of entitlement that is so strong that it's overtaken most of the body of Christ. And that is why we're seeing the division. Now, God will always use it to his glory, but the no mask or mask or whatever the latest, it's always something. There's always going to be something that the enemy is trying to get us to bite on so that we have an opinion. Remember, we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. The only opinion we have is what's in the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. That's when it pierces darkness. That's, you know, we all know what the Word of God says about abortion. We know that. That's a no-brainer. Let's just take something that we all agree on, abortion. Okay? Now, if you went up to somebody and started talking to them about the reasons why they should not have an abortion, you're either going to start a fight with them, they're going to go, get out of here, you nutcase, or they're going to be like, I didn't know. But listen, when you deliver that word by the Spirit, in the timing of the Spirit, it's like an explosion in their soul. It like unhooks and unlocks all the darkness, and the enemy never sees it coming because it's by the Spirit. See, by the flesh, he knows you. He knows what he knows what to say to get you to bite all the time. And if biting constantly, you're feeding the flesh. It's better, and I've been trained in this. I'm still being trained in this. It's better to tuck in, Holy Ghost, what are you saying? And if you don't hear anything, don't push through. Wait until he talks, like when he changed my fast, which was life-changing and lots of breakthrough. Who's driving the car? Who's driving the car? You? Holy Ghost? Your wife? Your kid? Your spouse? Your job? Your you know, what is? Finances? Who's driving your car? And it's not too late to take the wheel. And then you take the wheel, and then you go to the cross. And you say, here it is. I don't know how to do this, but I know you do. I've made a mess of this. I thought I was doing right, but somehow I turned a little to the left, and now I got this, all these problems. Lord, I'm so sorry. Help me. And he'll help you. He'll show you how. Here's the other thing. I love when he gives me a picture. I've seen this big old Woody station wagon, you know, filled with idols. Idols. And you're driving these idols around, and they're driving you. Do you know what those are? Are you having an issue with this? Somebody is. And you don't have to raise your hand, but listen. Those things will drive you forever unless you deal with them. Smash them. Take them to the cross. Give them to the Lord. And say, Lord, I don't even know how all these passengers got in my car. How did fear, worry, you know, who are you? Oh, you're the neighbor's kid. How'd you get in my car? You know, you're feeding more than you need to, friends. How'd those grandkids get in there? I thought they were supposed to go home on Sunday. I'm kidding. Listen. Oh, there they are. All the dogs and the horses and the... Oh, the friends, too. Listen. Purses. Wow. Look at all those purses in there. Shoes. Look at all those shoes. My goodness, those shoes. Tools. Wow. Coin collections. Yikes. Listen. I'm making light of this because it's touching home. God wants to deal with this stuff, and how do we deal with it? We know how to deal with it. We recognize that they're idols, and maybe you knew all along, and maybe tonight's the night you're like, I've had enough. I'm dumping it all. Hey, you're going to the dump, and you're going to back up that old Woody station wagon, and you're going to open the doors, and then you're going to give it the goose. All that stuff is just going to go out the back end. And you're not going to look back. Don't look back at the idols. You know what happens when you do. Ah, pillar of salt. That's good. Listen, don't let that stuff hang on you. Because you've got purposes. And so, you know, I love the great exchange. I love, and there's more to it, and I simplify it down to this little thing, but it's very huge. And in fact, you might want to listen to the teaching. Go to the website, spiritofgodworldwide.com. Go to the messages under resources. Click on free messages, and it's the series on the website. Look for the great exchange. It's a 4-part teaching. It'll really help you. Anyway, I'm going to just simplify this to one act of obedience. If you have issues right now that you want to get free of, all the stuff popped up throughout tonight, you know, whether it's addictions or mindsets or strong-willed or, you know, confusion or fear or worry or, you thought things were going to go one way and they went another way. Listen, it doesn't matter which way. You know why? Because God's word says, keep your eyes on me. His word says, don't look to the left or to the right, but stay focused on me. And his promise says he will always take care of you if you keep your eyes on him. Gosh, that's such a good, I love Proverbs 3. So right now, if you have an issue that's come up, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to visualize the cross. And I want you to remember what Jesus did. He took everything. Every darkness, every sin, every bondage, everything. He took it and did the great exchange. He redeemed us from the curse. He did that for you. He had you in his mind when he did that. And right now, just take whatever it is that's holding you down or holding you back, whether it's fear, worry, idolatry, backslidden, addiction. Lay it down and present it to him at his feet. I want you to see him looking at you and wanting to take that from you. And when you do, I want you to see the love in his eyes. He doesn't see what you're giving him as darkness or bad. He sees it as an act of love. And he sees the exchange taking place. Your brokenness for his glory, for his kingdom, for his peace, for his righteousness. And so just give that to him. And then receive his love. Do you feel the love coming in to your heart? Where that area was of darkness or fear or whatever. Let him bathe you in his love right now. And say, I receive your love, Jesus. I receive the great exchange. I give you my brokenness and I receive your love. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to help me. I'm asking you to help me walk this out. I'm asking you to help me stay on track, to keep my eyes on you. And when I start to look to the left or to the right, Holy Spirit, correct me and remind me that it's all about you. I know you're going to take care of me. You always do, because I'm your child. Thank you, Father. You're so good to us. Lord, we bless you. We bless you with our hearts. We love you. We want to worship you and continue to worship you. And Father, I'm asking you to help us stay so close that we hear when you move or even like stretch forth to lean a little. We want to hear and be so tuned in with what you're doing that we don't miss it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Laurie Scanlon. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.